we're into the FedEx now. It is playoff time in the PGA Tour. And Tom Kim has thrown his name into the ring.
Tom Kim, baby.
Tom Kim, 20 years old. He just got an exemption to come over here and play these final events. He just got his tour card, I believe, last week. Like, it locked it in for next year. And what does he do this week? He goes out there and puts on an absolute clinic at the Wyndham. And to chat about that, we're joined now by former PGA Pro, CBS Golf commentator, and you can check out his podcast as well. Here is Colt Knost. What's up, Colt?
How we doing, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're doing well. Thank you for joining us. So Tom Kim starts with a quad on the first hole of the tournament and then comes back and ends up winning it. If you put yourself in his shoes, if you take a quad on the first hole of the championship, how does the rest of your tournament play out?
Probably not going to last very long. I'd have probably been on my phone on the second tee looking at fights for that afternoon, if I'm being totally honest. I mean, he's definitely a lot stronger mentally than I am, and probably a lot of guys out there to come back. And I mean, he won by 5 shots after making a quad on the first. Just incredible golf. But tip your cap to him, man. That's pretty cool just to, you know, be able to laugh it off and go out there and play great golf after that.
So, Colt, big moment in the broadcast booth at the Wyndham with Nick Faldo signing off as the lead golf analyst in the sport, really. What did you make of his sign-off? Got quite emotional. And what kind of void will that leave to your mind?
Yeah, you know, I've been with the CBS team. This was my first full season. And Nick let us know earlier this year about this this decision and that what was coming. And, you know, it was tough. I've gotten close with Nick over the last year and a half, and I love him on the air. Him and I have great banter going back and forth. I think a lot of people think we don't like each other because it's normally just making jokes at each other, but it's totally the opposite. It's great. I think it makes the broadcast fun. But listen, like they said yesterday, I mean, to do what he's done, be the number one player in the world on the golf course and then step in the booth and be one of, if not, is a hell of an accomplishment. And, you know, I wish he was sticking around for a little longer. But listen, like he said, he's been traveling nonstop. He's 65 years old, and he's ready to go hang out at his Faldo farm. But it was emotional. I got my schedule at the start of the year and saw that this one wasn't on it, which was fine with me because I was playing a member guest golf tournament. That was a lot of fun. But once I found out that this was going to be his last, I really wish I could have been there because it was a really cool moment. It was emotional. And that's how it should have been, though. I mean, this is a big deal. He's leaving his home for 16 years, and like they said, we're a family out there. We spend so much time together. So I wasn't one bit surprised that everyone got emotional.
How big of an impact did Nick Faldo have on you know, the CBS crew and all its members? And, you know, how much was there to learn from him?
It's great. I mean, like, look, he's sitting in that lead analyst chair, right? And a lot of people always question the lead analyst. Like, oh, you haven't been there. You haven't done this. You don't know what it's like. Well, you can't say that to Nick Faldo. Number one player in the world, 6 major championships, won a gazillion times around the world. And I think he's funnier. He's very smart. There's no doubt about that. And he loves the game. And I think that comes out in his broadcasts. And, I mean, like I said, when I joined the team, I think we saw a little different side of Nick where he was able to poke fun at me. I poked it back. And I got him going a little bit and got his attention going. And we had so much fun. That's one thing I think, you know, we always talk about athletes leaving the sport and they miss the locker room, they miss the plane rides and all that. That's one thing I think he will miss is just hanging out, you know, before and after the show with everyone and just sharing laughs. It's so much fun. But listen, he's been doing this for so long. If he's happy, I'm happy. I just wish him nothing but the best.
With Colt Knost of CBS, Subpar Podcast. So, you know, Faldo hangs him up, and again, he goes out watching a 20-year-old put on an incredible display. Shoots 27 on the front yesterday, runs away with the tournament. And we've heard about this kid for a while. You know, the PGA Tour clearly wanted him. They got him. But with everything that just took place, could this be blank check from Greg Norman territory? Like, how does Norman approach Kim now moving forward?
That's going to be interesting. You know, if you listen to Tom Kim talk about how it's been his lifelong dream to play on the PGA Tour, now he's got that opportunity. You know, he earned enough points to get his card, and now he's won, so he's in the FedEx Cup playoffs, which is a huge deal. He's 34. He could make it all the way to East Lake to the Tour Championship. He's going to be in all the majors next year because of his world ranking. But the kid's a special talent. I hope that's not the case. I hope he stays on the PGA Tour. He seems like he's got a great personality. His interview was great after he won. I'm a big fan of him. I definitely hope he stays on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is—it's just a huge get, I think, for the tour. Like, if you get this kid and he's the next one, and who knows? I mean, you don't want to label some guy and start, you know, projecting how many majors he could win or what he's going to be like in 10 or 15 years. But to start like this young, this early, I mean, what kind of competitions do you think he could push, you know, forward with next year? In other words, if he shows up at the majors, could we talk about him at 21 doing what Spieth did, doing maybe not what Tiger did, but could he win a major next year potentially based on how good his game is?
You know, I think there's no doubt his game is world-class and he can win. It's going to be tough at major championships going against the best of the best. I mean, the Wyndham field was a nice field, but it wasn't a major championship field by any means. The one thing that concerns me for him just a little bit is his distance. I mean, if you looked like at his ball speed yesterday, you know, he's anywhere from 160 to 165, which is definitely towards the bottom of the PGA Tour. And at these major championships, distance is just so huge. And we see these guys overpower golf courses. But you never know. I mean, the way he putts it, the way his irons are, those are elite clubs in his bag. It's just the driver concerns me a little bit. Can he do it 4 days in a row on a big ballpark like Augusta National? We'll have to wait and see. But his iron game is incredible, and the way he putted this week, that was something special to watch.
It certainly was, Colt. Obviously, off the golf course and now to the courtroom, I'm wondering, we're not going to get into the legal ease of the antitrust suit that a bunch of LIV Tour players have filed against the PGA Tour, but from your perspective as a former player, you know, what do you make of this suit, and what's the buzz around where it might take this battle between these two rival factions?
I mean, just to be blunt, it sucks. I hate it. You know, we should be focused on the FedEx Cup playoffs right now and the members that were loyal to the PGA Tour and are getting ready to try to win that prestigious title. And then you got some guys that chose to leave. They knew it was going to happen. And now they're challenging it, which is just so unfortunate because, like I said, we shouldn't be having to talk about this. We should be focused on the PGA Tour, the playoffs, how someone's going to win a pile of cash at the end, which is going to be awesome, and you're going to be the best player on the PGA Tour for that season. But instead, you got some guys that think they should still be able to be a part of it, even though they were told, and they signed an agreement at the start of the year, agreeing to the PGA Tour bylaws, and now they're going to challenge it. And, you know, from everything I've been hearing, you know, they could possibly – you know, get a stay like they did in Scotland and those guys were able to play, if that's the case. Guys are going to show up in Memphis, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they are treated this week if they are allowed to play.
Colt, I'm having a hard time understanding this. Like, guys left because they said they wanted to play less golf and make more money. So why now, all of a sudden, do they want to come back to play more tournaments?
Well, see, that's where it's all ridiculous. Like, the reason they went to live was not to play less golf. It was for strictly money. Mm-hmm. And now they know that they have a deal over here with the PGA Tour where technically they qualified for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Like, they earned enough points, but since they broke the bylaws, they're not allowed to. And that's why I've had such a hard time with this thing of why these guys' excuses of why they left when it's just not true. Like, just tell the truth. Like, you wanted more money. You saw a chance to make a ton of money, and you took it. You knew you weren't going to be allowed to play the PGA Tour anymore. They told you that, but for some reason, you still went. At the end of the day, like, they're golfers, right? They love playing golf, and they don't want to play once and then sit out 4 weeks, then play again, sit out another 4 weeks, like how it is over there on that tour. And right now, these guys are like, man, I'm bored. I want to play golf, and I can go out there and play against the best of the best and win a lot of money. I'm going to try everything I can to do that. I hope it doesn't happen.
Well, in terms of the FedEx Cup, we're chatting with Colt Knost. You got Scottie Scheffler currently sitting in the lead, Cam Smith right behind him, which, again, it sucks that we all know the rumors with Smith and, you know, mm-hmm. what maybe ends up happening if he ends up winning the FedEx and then the President's Cup and then pulls a shoot and goes to live, but who knows. But Scheffler, like, this is a chance for him to really cap off just a remarkable season. I mean, this guy's been on the radar for quite some time, you know, coming up as a kid, as a phenom, but this guy, if he can wrap it up, you know, this season he had, winning at Augusta, all of the, you know, number one player in the world, he wraps it up with a FedEx, you know, what kind of season, put it into perspective for us, what kind of season would he be completing over the next, you know, few weeks?
Well, it's definitely a historic season. It's definitely going to be the most lucrative season we've ever seen on the PGA Tour. I mean, he already broke the record for most money earned on the golf course, not including bonuses. But look, he made over $13 million on the golf course, I believe. He just made $5 million yesterday didn't even tee it up. He won $4 million for the Comcast, another $1 million for the Aon. I mean, look, he's got a 1,200-point lead. I know it's all staggering when we get to East Lake as far as the score goes and everything, but if he does, you're looking at a possibly $50 million season. I mean, it's just crazy to think the money this kid could make. And he's earned it, though. I mean, he's leading the FedEx Cup by 1,200 points. You get 500 points for a regular season win. So he's got almost 2.5 wins more than Cam. Incredible year.
It's been an unbelievable run. Enjoy the FedEx Cup. We'll do this again soon. Thank you for this, Colt.
You got it. Thanks for having me, guys.
There's Colt Knost of CBS and his podcast, Subpar Podcast.